The setting for today's Holy Gospel is in the upper room on that Thursday night where the apostles met with Jesus to celebrate the Passover Seder meal. The Gospel begins with the words, "When he was gone, Jesus said." Were you wondering who he was? Did you find that? You know, it picks up in a reading that says, "When he was gone," the "he" was Judas. Judas had just left the upper room, and he went to go do what he had planned to do. And Jesus told him, "Go do what you must do, and do it quickly." And that was to betray Jesus. Strangely enough, with a kiss. John recorded Jesus' words this way. Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once." Jesus knew what was coming. And for this reason, he speaks of being glorified. This is only the second time he spoke of the Son of Man being glorified. The first was in John 12:23, the chapter just before this, when Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Prior to this, Jesus had spoken of God the Father being glorified and of the Son of Man being lifted up. And we know that that means being on the cross. In the first century Israel, the words to glorify meant to exalt by completing a task. It's always good to know the context of how words are used. In the first century, it meant to show the nature of something by bringing it to completion, to fruition. The scope and wonder of God's marvelous plan of salvation is only going to be apparent with Jesus' arrest, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And I believe that Jesus was overwhelmed that night with glory, with the coming events and the unveiling with God's glory, with his own mission finally coming toward its conclusion. And so in doing that, he would be bringing God the Father the glory. And he knew that very soon he was going to be leaving his apostles and his disciples as he moved closer and closer to the cross. If you think about it, he's really just hours away from his own death. I have to wonder, maybe you do too, why the world gets so excited about fictitious characters coming to an end. But let's face it, when it comes to Jesus fulfilling his mission of sacrifice in order to bring eternal life and forgiveness to believers, it's treated as old hat. Oh, okay, that's just Jesus and the cross. Look at this last month and what's taken place. The excitement surrounding the end of the 12-year Big Bang Theory, the television show. News of this has been everywhere. They've been interviewing Sheldon and Leonard and Penny. And people have been wondering, what was Penny's maiden name? They never told you in 12 years. And then, not to overlook the movie, The Avengers Endgame. Boy, there's been a lot of hubbub about that. The sacrifice of certain characters and the build-up to them was very big on the news. Now, I promise that there's no spoilers going on here. I'm not going to tell you what took place in the Big Bang Theory, and I'm not going to tell you about the Avengers Endgame. Only around Easter is the life of Jesus on the minds of very few. You got to admit. And let's not forget about the talk about a TV show that I had never even seen one episode, The Game of Thrones. How many people here have been watching Game of Thrones? God bless you. Hey, there's no judgment here. It's okay. People have things that they like. You know, I admit that I've seen both the Avengers. I've seen all the Avengers movies and Captain America and that stuff. It's just, I never read the comic books, but it's just fun. I think I've seen every episode of The Big Bang Theory at least 12 times. Because they're on reruns, always. Those characters will never die. But yet, Jesus died and then rose from the dead, and it doesn't seem to excite a lot of people, only the ones in churches. There's a whole lot more people in the world. Absolutely amazing. And I got to tell you, the priorities are pretty mixed up, in my opinion. And I must admit that I've spent time watching TV shows, and thank the Lord for a DVR so I can be able to record stuff and look at it later. Used to be that you'd stop dead in your tracks to go watch your favorite TV show. Remember Who Shot JR on Dallas, right? People just, sorry, I gotta go see it. You didn't want to see it in reruns. You wanted to see it right away. And if you were fortunate enough to have paid $1,000 for a video cassette recorder, it was that much money when they first came out, then you could have watched it. But nowadays, I'll just DVR it. In my heart, Jesus is always glorified. And I'm sure in your hearts too. My point is, the media and the masses' priorities are not focused on Jesus, but on a lot of other things. Just watch the news. I don't care which news, which channel. Nobody's talking about Jesus very much. But Jesus knows on that night the events that are coming for him. And he tells them warmly and lovingly in a way that reflects their relationship with one another. He says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come." In just a little while, Jesus is going to repeat that. That was John 13:33, which was in today's gospel. But he's going to tell them more about his destination in the very next chapter, which was really just moments later, in John chapter 14. And his words are filled with promise and truth. I want to read them to you now. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well." That last verse is very, very important, because a lot of people will stop off with, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And sometimes they'll throw in, "No one comes to the Father except through me." But hardly ever do people say, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him." In other words, Jesus was saying, right here, you're looking at God. And he promises that they will not be alone, that he will come back for them and take them so that they'll always be together. And Thomas pipes up, of course, that they don't know the way, and Jesus fills them and all believers with those special words that reveal who he really is and that he and the Father are one. And I can't help but think of the prayer that's called the Shema. I've talked about this several times. Every good Jew has a scroll rolled up and is put at the doorway of their house. It's called a mezuzah. And they will touch their hand and kiss it and touch the mezuzah as they leave or as they come into the house. It's on the outside of the door. And it's an indication that they are Jewish. And I'll tell you what's on the scroll. The scroll says this, from Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts." That's God speaking to Moses in Deuteronomy. But Jesus has something special to give the apostles besides the gift of his body and blood that night in the Eucharist in the Last Supper Seder meal. He gives them the simplest, clearest, and the hardest command of all. as a new commandment that is to go along with the Shema. That's straight from God's words in Leviticus 19:18. God tells Moses, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And so Jesus tells his apostles, "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And I think this is perhaps the hardest thing for them to follow. Because plainly Jesus is telling them, and all believers, to copy him. Which is virtually impossible. But we're to try. At the very beginning of each Holy Eucharist service, we have incorporated Jesus' words and these two commands as recorded in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. And you just heard them. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Let's face it. Love is not about us, but it's about all that we give and do for another person. Think about that. You can be in love, but you're not in love with yourself. At least I hope you're not. If you love someone else, then don't you want to do what's best for that person and give a part of yourself for that person? Selfless love overflows into service. Not in order to show off how hardworking it is, but because true love for another is in its natural form. Everything we think, do, and say is for that person while we are with them. Sadly, we can look at human history and see how professing Christians have treated one another through the years. Some have used the gospel as a weapon. And it would be my prayer that that will not be the future of Christ's church. But instead, the gospel would be an example of a love like no other that begins with God and extends to our neighbors. It would also be my hope that we would remember Jesus' words from today's Holy Gospel, and that they give us strength and hope and courage to do just what he commands. "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And when I read that, it took me directly to 1 Corinthians 13:13. It goes right alongside to complement Jesus' words, as well as those from the Old Testament that we just read. Paul wrote this, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." And so by the grace of God, may we do our best to put these words into action. And through our love, be fully focused on the one who loves us. And his name is Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.